Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking again about the Kingdom of God, and we're talking about turning the world upside down. And in the last show, we quoted Dr. Michael Elner, who said, "Just look at us. Everything is backwards. Everything is upside down. Doctors destroy health. Lawyers destroy justice. Universities destroy knowledge. Governments destroy freedom. And major media destroys information. And religion destroys spirituality." And we were talking about how that is really true. But Jesus came to turn the world upside down again, which is actually right side up. In Psalms 146:9, we see, "The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and the widows." How does he do that? He does that through the love of his people, who take care of the daily ministration in pure religion, unspotted by the world. "But the way of the wicked lie turneth upside down." And that's why you see all of what you're going on, is because you've been following the way of the wicked in this world. And if everybody who said they were Christians were really Christians, do you think the world would be in the state that it's in? If Christians knew that who Abraham really was in ancient times, they would discover that half of the religions, more than half of the religions, claim to stem all the way back to Abraham, but almost none of them are doing what Abraham was doing. How was Abraham the man of faith? What does it mean to live by faith? It certainly doesn't mean to live by force. Christianity is socialism without the gun. It's a socialism of love, where we take care of the needy in a way that strengthens the poor in a righteous way. In Acts 17:6, we see, "And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." Turn the world upside down, bottom rail on top. That's a line that was, there was a black slave who had escaped and gone north, and he ended up working for the Northern Army, and he was working on a steamboat, and they were bringing Confederate prisoners on board after one of the major battles to transport them to one of their concentration camps where many of them died. And one of the men coming on board was an officer, and he was the former slave's owner. And their eyes met for a moment, and they recognized one another. And the former black slave said, "Bottom rail on top." That was it. Bottom rail on top. Things changed. But how do you get on top in the kingdom? He used to be highest amongst you. Jesus talks about there are some of you that are higher than others. But this is in a government that does not exercise authority one over the other. It's a government that operates by the perfect law of liberty. It's not like Cain's government. It's not like Nimrod's government. It's not like Sodom and Gomorrah. It's not like San Francisco and New York. It's not like Washington, D.C. or New York or London or any of those governments. It's a government that operates by faith, hope, and charity. And so many people say, "I'm a believer," but they don't believe in that kind of government. They believe in a government of force. They really believe in Nimrod. They really believe in Saul's. Those who wanted Saul because they had rejected God. And God said, what's going to happen is you're going to create a government now that's going to take and take and take and take. It's going to make its instruments of war. It's going to draft your sons and daughters for its purposes. And it's going to bring devastation. And when it comes, you're going to cry out to me and say, "Oh, Lord, save us. But I will not hear you in that day, because you did not hear me in this day. And you don't even hear this message in your churches. But you send them money. They're rich. Billions of dollars. Catholic Church, Mormon Church, many churches. Rich. What's that preacher? I forgot his name. He's down in Texas. He's on TV all the time. Kind of put-in-hand guy. Lives in a $10 million mansion. You know, Jesus was rich and he made himself poor. These guys are poor and they make themselves rich and you help them. What on earth are these guys? Why are your preachers millionaires? And you are sold back into being entangled as human resources in the elements of the world. You're back in the bondage of Egypt, but it's worse with you than it was with them. In Egypt, you had to pay 20% income tax, one-fifth of everything you made and worked had to go to the government. Moses took you out of that. He still had tithing, but the Levites couldn't kick in your door to get the tithing. It was mandatory, but not mandatory. You were supposed to do it. You didn't have to do it. If you didn't do it, though, the society would fall apart. You had to sacrifice so that the love would grow. Not so that the Levites didn't arrest you and throw you into jail. They didn't have that power. They didn't exercise authority. You were kings in your own house. There were no kings. They ran a whole government through faith, hope, and charity. Free will offerings, free will offerings, free will offerings. It wasn't until you had a king like Saul that he forced an offering. And you see that right in the text. But you don't even know. You don't see because you've been given over to a reprobate mind. You think there's something wrong with government charging you taxes. They should charge you with taxes. They should whip the daylights out of you, you rejecter of God and his ways of righteousness, of love. You've gone down the wrong road, and I'm here to tell you and rebuke you. Because as many as I love, I also rebuke. Because I'm not telling you to pick on you. I'm telling this to wake you up. You've turned the world back upside down again. And you're now the bottom rail. And you want to rebel. You're the bottom rail because you rebelled. But you rebelled against God. I'm telling you to repent and conform to God. Turn around, gather together, start taking care of one another through faith, hope, and charity. You have to actually do that like a kingdom, like a government. You have to organize yourselves. Don't come to us and say, have you got it all organized? Have you got it all done? Have you got everybody doing it? By the way, I need some money. And you just joined? Where how does that work? Now, it would work if we thought you were really repenting and coming back. But, you know, there were a lot of hungry people at the Sermon on the Mount. You know, there that day where they fed the thousands. They were all hungry. And how did they come up with all that food? It was a miracle. You don't even know what that miracle consisted of. How did that happen? Why aren't you having that miracle? You don't even wait for that miracle. You go to the men who call themselves benefactors and say, I need some bread. I need an EBT card. I need welfare. I need Social Security. I need free education for my children. I need health care. And now some of you are saying, oh, we don't need that. We don't need that. We don't need that. You will need that. I'm not afraid to be on my own. You will be afraid to be on your own. Because times are good now. Don't be foolish virgins. Start coming together. Trimming your wicks. Yeah. A lot of wick trimming's going to need to go on. I sent a message off last night to the ministers on the minister group, where all the ministers convene and talk about some of these things, and we're working on a number of projects right now. But I said everybody's going to have to learn how to spell austerity. it's a kind of a tricky word to spell. Christ gave everything away, required his pastors, his ministers, his disciples to give everything away and walk with no estate, just like Moses said. The Levites had no estate. They owned all things in common. The people owned their own land. When they say in the New Testament they owned all things in common, they're talking about the ministers. They're not talking about the Christians creating some sort of communist government. We're supposed to return every man to his possessions and to his family. Why? So he can choose to be charitable and love one another. But in order to show that love, he has to truly give up. He has to really sacrifice. And that's not a problem. People say, oh, well, you don't have to do anything to be saved. Just have to believe in Jesus. If you believed in Jesus, you wouldn't even bring that up. You would jump at the chance to sacrifice. You wouldn't be saying, oh, no, we don't have to do nothing. Oh, my gosh, doing the Word of God. We don't have to do that. We're not saved by works. We're saved because we think a thought. You don't really believe in Jesus if you're not willing to do that. That's the point. You're not a believer. And that's why we're talking about this on the preparingyou.com in the article Diverse Loves. This is why we're talking about that. What Paul says. That's where we were last time. Paul says in Romans 7:7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. So everybody who thought diverse loves has to do with sexuality? No, it has to do with coveting. And people are screwing their neighbors, if I may use a crass term like that, by coveting their neighbor's goods. That's adultery, to covet your neighbor's goods. That's vile to do that. That's wicked. You think it's okay because you've been given over to a reprobate mind because you have not really known the Lord, but you've known of him. This is what Paul's talking about. But the people he's writing and the people he's talking to are believers. People who have repented and gone another way. Romans 13:9, for this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Do you send men to your neighbor's house? Do you threaten to take your neighbor's house away if he doesn't pay for your child's education? You bet you do. If you send your kids to public school, or if you just ask for benefits so that they send you bookwork and you home teach your kids, but you're using their books because they bought their books with your neighbor's money. And they're going to do it whether or not you take it. Yeah, so what? Stop taking it. Because you are being changed by your choices. You are being altered spiritually and will be altered genetically by your choices. Forgive the fact that you have given them money and they've squandered it on drug addicts and what have you and bureaucrats. Forgive them that. Now repent. And start doing it the way Christ said to do it, the way the early church did, through faith, hope, and charity, through congregations, or what we call free assemblies, where people start actually taking care of themselves. Now, the quicker you start doing this, the easier the transition will be. You know, in childbirth, it's nice to take a little time to give birth to a child. I mean, you're squeezing that baby through a small opening. If it comes too fast, the mother will be hurt and injured. Don't put it off to the last minute. Let's start dilating our way into the kingdom by starting to take care of one another. If I may use these metaphors. in 1 Corinthians 5, we see, yet not together with the fornicators of the world. Fornicators of the world. What does that mean? Fornicators of the world. What world is he talking about there? Remember, there's five different Greek words translated into world. And which one he's using will make a difference about what he means. And let's see here. I'll look that up. Let's find out what that is. I'm pretty sure I know. I just have to refresh my memory. Yep, it's the word. Fornicators of the world. Fornicators of the constitutional order and systems of government, because that's the word he uses. It's not the fornicators of the age. It's not the fornicators of inhabited places. It's the fornicators of constitutional order systems of government. He says, yet not altogether with the fornicators of the world. Anyway, fornicators of the world with covetous or extortioners or idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. Go out of the world to do what? Go out of the world? Are you to leave the planet? Are we supposed to fly off into space somewhere? Is that what he's talking about? No. He's talking about what you guys are doing and what they were doing. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Hang out with other people who are coveting, extortioning, going to idolatry. What is he talking about? Going to the temple of Saturn for your benefits. The favors of the state. That's what we sent out the other night. And we sent that out to notify people of the programs today, because we were going to be talking about that. And I read it in the last program, but I'll read it in this one too, if I find out what I did with it. I've sent off so many messages today. We're editing books and we're discussing how to operate businesses through the kingdom. And I mean, we're working on, and then we're connecting people that joining from different parts of the country with the network, the Living Network. You can go to thelivingnetwork.org and it'll take you to a page where you can sign up. And then you can get to know people in your area, because you have to get to know the people on the ground where you live. That's so important that you do that. Anyway, the quote was from Baron Montesquieu, and it was from the book The Spirit of the Laws. And it says, a more certain way to attack religion is by favor, by the comforts of life, by the hope of wealth, not by what reminds one of it. And he's referring to religion in one sense, but by what makes one forget it. Not by what makes one indignant, but by what makes men lukewarm, which will be spewed forth from the mouth, according to Revelations. When other passions act on our souls, those which religion inspires are silent. In the matter of changing religion, state favors are stronger than penalties. And that's back to the greatest destroyers of liberty are the givers of gifts, gratuities, and benefits. And why is the church interested in liberty? Because liberty is of God. All liberty is of God. There is no liberty but of God, and anyone who opposes liberty opposes God. And the Bible says that. But you don't know where it says that unless you've read the book, The Higher Liberty. So you'll have to do that. We just had somebody from England order the book. And it's going out probably today. So we need a network starting up in England. Because according to my English son-in-law, they're all dead over there. They're just not awake. They're the walking zombies of the world. But they aren't all dead. There are living souls everywhere. And we're in the business of raising the dead. And we're raising the dead because we're getting the dead to turn away from that which killeth and turn towards that which giveth life. And we know that is by love, because love worketh no ill to his neighbor. He doesn't covet his neighbor's goods. He provides for his neighbor through faith, hope, and charity, and that perfect law of liberty that Paul is talking about, which these mindless Paul thumpers read and don't even get. You know, Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians 5:10, yet not altogether with the fornicators of the world or with the covetous, extortioners, those who force, with idolaters, those who believe in the creation, that their government will save them, not their God. And their government is fashioned, and if you read Rome versus Us, there, or some of our other articles, you'll see that it's fashioned after Rome. It's fashioned after Babylon. It's not fashioned after the ways of what Christ was doing. That's why, because the churches aren't doing what Christ said to do. But now I have written unto you, not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother, be a fornicator, a covetous. In other words, desiring those benefits that are provided by men who exercise authority one over the other. Or an idolater, or a railer, it says, or a drunkard, or extortioner. In other words, want to force you to contribute to their welfare. With such an one, know not to eat. You shouldn't be eating with them. You shouldn't be applying for their benefits. But you're going to need help, because that happens. And in the future, everybody's going to need help. So you have to gather together in free assemblies and start living righteously, taking care of your health care, your social welfare, your education, health, education, and welfare through a system based on charity. This is what Christ preached. This is what John the Baptist preached. This is what Moses set up. This is what Abraham was doing with his altars of clay and stone. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Without what? Out there doing the other. Do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are without God judgeth. Therefore put away from amongst yourself the wicked person, the people that are still seeking those benefits. We had congregations for them, and they are still seeking those benefits. They don't need them right now, but they would use them if they could. And when they need them, they will call on them. And we know this because when people came up with a need amongst them, they saw not their need. So how will God see your need if you will not see the need of your brother? The brethren of Christ are those who do the will of the Father, not those who say they believe. A believer is someone who is actually seeking to do the will of the Father in righteousness and not doing those things like coveting or forcing their neighbor to contribute to their child's education or any of these things that are so common today. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom? It didn't say the unbeliever, said the unrighteous. You know, many will be counted as believers, even though they don't think they believe in their head, but based on that they were acting righteously for the brethren who were actually seeking to do the will of the Father. We need people that are in the system that want to turn around and go the other way. We don't need people who want to come out of the system as much as we need that. We want people who want to get the system out of their own hearts. This is what Christ was looking for. For his disciples were ministers. They were going to be coming out. They were not going to be of the world. They were going to be separate. But what are their disciples doing? They're serving those people in the unrighteous mammon and helping them learn to serve one another, because there's a learning curve on this. They're helping them to learn to serve one another, so that when the unrighteous mammon faileth, they will have a system already in place that can make up the difference. But that's a walk. It's a way. It's a conversation. It's a rule of conduct. So if you're one of those people who want to turn around and start seeking the kingdom, start building that house on the rock of Christ, which is faith. That's the rock. But if you just want to sit back and believe and keep eating at the table of kings, If you want to keep dancing like foolish virgins, thinking that, oh, we're virgins, we don't need that. We just go do our own thing, you know, but we're not going to actually come together and love one another. We're just going to love the fact that we're free sovereigns dancing out here as virgins. Foolish, foolish. You're not going to be let in either. And what is that letting in? There's a spiritual power here that we will ultimately have to completely depend upon that will keep us afloat on the seas, the raging seas. But you can't even imagine what that's like now. And don't worry about that now. Worry about today. What are you going to do today to turn around and go the other way? Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators nor idolaters. And then remember, those fornicators he's talking about are the covetous. You know, back in the other quote. And yeah, and adulterers and effeminates and abusers of themselves with mankind. They're not going to inherit. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, no extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Period. He's talking about what you're doing. They can think they believe all they want. We'll be right back and we'll tell you more about what Paul says instead of what people think Paul said.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, God bless America, and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me. And many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
So we're talking about the kingdom, and we're talking about the unrighteous not inheriting the kingdom of God. Even if they think they believe, they still don't inherit the kingdom of God. And why? Because we see that they are not bearing the fruits of repentance. They haven't really repented. They don't really believe in God. They believe in an image of God, but they don't really believe in God. But they are completely fooled. And the world allows them to do all kinds of things that God used to say that was a sin, and Christ said was a sin, and Paul says was a sin. And they are, the world is these fornicators who, and adulterers and even coveters. Because, I mean, the whole world is moving in this. You know, 100 years ago in America, we did not have people doing what we see being done today in this, the modern socialist states. We've moved. Supposedly, World War II, we were fighting the Nazis who were social democrats. And we've all become social democrats. And our morality is dictated by the mob. And we're in a lot of trouble. But the fact is what I was saying at the beginning of the show and the beginning of the previous show is that we are changed by these practices, what Peter calls covetous practices, what Paul says can't enter into the kingdom of heaven, these covetous people. And that covetous one is one that I focus on a lot, but the reality is there's lots of thieves. I mean, like somebody's in a business and they have something, you know, materials that belong to somebody that they're supposed to install or distribute or whatever, and they have some left over. And it belongs to the other guy and they didn't need any more. Are they going to give that guy credit? Or are they going to give that guy the stuff back? No. If they don't, they're stealing. You see, they're thieves. They think they're Christians, but they're actually thieves. And I recently saw where somebody was in partnership with such a business, and they backed away from that business. They sold out or their share of the partnership for less than its value just to be away from those individuals. That's a good sign. There will be blessings coming to them because they made that choice. At the same time, there are things in their lives which are still part of that covetous nature. So that they're not the thieves, but there's still a certain amount of them, just a small little bit. But there's a little covetousness in there. They're not drunkards. They're not really extortioners. But it doesn't say if you are thieves and covetous and drunkards and revilers that you shall not inherit the kingdom. It says one, just one of those things. Adulterers, effeminates, abusers of themselves with mankind. He's showing you that if you take a step in one of these areas and accept being that, it will taint everything. And the fact is, we're all sinners. We're all, you know, by the time the prodigal son got home, did he get the smell of pig off of him? He may still have smelled a little bit like pig when he got home, but he did turn around and start back. And his father met him and was killing the fatted calf, and they were probably had water prepared and washed his feet and his hands and everything and tried to scrub that smell of the pig off of him because he did it by his service to his son who came back to serve his father. And that is the nature of Christ, to wash your feet when they should be washing his. So now you see the spirit of your congregations and free assemblies, that you come to give, to help, to serve one another. You know, that people want to get in a congregation for the benefit of being in a congregation. No. The benefit of the being in the congregation is now you have a chance to be like Christ. to feed his sheep, to care for his needy. If you do that, God will run out before you and chase your enemies away. If you don't do that, you're on your own. You know, one of my prayers is, I'm right behind you, Lord. I'm right behind you. You first. I'm not running out ahead of you. When you're ready, we'll move down this road. But I got my eyes on you. Not upon where I want to go. Where you want to lead, so I shall follow. This is the spirit that we need to have. 2 Corinthians 9:5. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would be, that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, wherefore ye had notice before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. So what does that mean? He goes on to say, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. He's telling you about a system of social welfare based on love, bounty, benefits. If you sow with a stingy heart, God will give to you with a stingy heart. It's built into the system. It cannot be changed. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Guys, needs help again. But now we have to be of real help. He may need some rebuking. What happened to the money I gave you last week? You know, this is why you need ministers who really love, because they will rebuke. They'll say, well, what is the deal here? You're always running short. Let's do something so you don't run short. Let's change our conversation, the way we do things. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. If you are doing this, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. But we need the austerity of Christ. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. So it must be with us also. Are you doing that? Or are you grudging? Do you come together to give life to others? Because that will draw you near Christ, and his guiding light will shine before your feet, and you will know his way. If you don't, your minds will be darkened, and you will be given over to a reprobate mind, and we will see the works not worthy of repentance. And you will be out there coveting your neighbor's goods through social welfare systems that are bankrupt, putting a burden of debt on your children and your children's children. We will find you dancing with foolish virgins, not trimming your wick, but thinking you are free in Christ when you are still bondage to the character of selfishness. Ephesians, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us, gave us his life, who washed feet, who gave up his wealth. You know, I'm preaching a prosperity gospel of giving up of your life for others in righteousness for the real welfare, not so some preacher can have a $10,000 ring and a $10 million house, even if he earned it by selling books. Why does he have so much while others are struggling? Why would you think the character of Christ is in him? If you were walking with Christ and you lost your coat, he would offer you his, not his extra one, but his cloak. to cover you. Would you take it? He would insist. These are the characters. This is what made America great. The spirit used to be alive and thriving throughout this country. It's still here, but it's become dormant. Why? Because of the favors of the state. It's taken us, our minds, off of pure religion, which is how we fulfill our duty to God and our fellow man. Ephesians 5:5, for this ye know, that no whoremongers, no unclean person, no covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. No matter if he tells you he is a believer or not. No matter if he thinks he is a believer or not. Now, should he give up all those things so that he may manifest the character of God? Yes. But only if he does it for real will it count for real, and God will be judge of that. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving thanks. What does he mean, not jesting, nor jesting? Now, I actually looked that word up, jesting. It doesn't mean joking around, because you always hear me joking around. And, you know, I do have a light side that will tell you of the ways of Christ. But if you look that up, that's in Ephesians 5:4. Nor foolish talking, nor jesting. If you look that word jesting up in the Greek, it only appears once in the whole Bible. And it's actually from a base word that means turning, which appears only once in the whole Bible. And it usually has to do with heavenly bodies turning, the orbits spinning, trope. But it's a compound word, and it comes from two words. And the other part of that word, you, has to do with well off, prosper, acting well. So you're, instead of acting well, it's acting badly, because it's turning. It's the other side. It's the upside down part. So it means jesting in a bad sense. That's what the word actually means. So, you know, it's low humor. And people with that low humor is not really who you should be working with. Because they have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. They are not a part of that kingdom. And they will not be let in, no matter what they think they believe. Colossians 3:5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornicators, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Now that's interesting. Covetousness, which is idolatry. Covetousness and idolatry. Why? Because they go to, where did you go to get your benefits in Rome? To the temples. And it's amazing, almost all the government buildings in the United States, you know, the major government buildings are built after Roman architecture. The system is almost identical. But in America, we used to get our benefits at church. You didn't have a job, or you got sick, or you got injured. You went to church for help that you could not provide for yourself if your family couldn't take care of you first. You know, somebody said the other day, family is everything. Well, you know, the mafia says that. No, the spirit is everything. And the way the spirit works is through the family. And when the family faileth, through the family, the brethren of God, the brethren of Christ, which are the ministers of Christ, those who are creating a system based on faith, hope, and charity, and the perfect law of liberty, returning every man to his home, to his possessions, to his family, to be the king and queen, and priests in his own family. The church is only to be the firstborn of the nation of God, to bring families together without diluting those families, without making them less than what God intended. The world system incorporates where it takes away from the family rights, potestas, imperium, rights. invested in government. Now the government tells the family how to live. And how did they do this? Through the favor of the state, through the gifts, gratuities, and benefits. Why? Because the church was not providing the gifts and gratuities and benefits of Christ. Through faith, hope, and charity, they chose to go with reprobate minds to take away from their neighbor in idolatry through covetousness. They worship the creation of their own hands. They serve it. They bow down to it to obtain the benefaction of men who exercise authority one over the other. Because their minds have drifted away from pure religion, which is where we did this 100 years ago in this country, through the church alone and through charity alone. We don't. Welfare from the government is never charity. It is force. And until John the Baptist, people were trying to establish that system throughout the world, and now they've done it again. They need a new John the Baptist to come and say, repent, turn around, and seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that operating by the perfect law of liberty and faith, hope, and charity. That was the message of Paul. And those who did it were called believers. Those who refused to do it were called a lot of things. I'll tell you what they were called. They were called covetous, adulterers, idolaters, concupiscence, evil concupiscence, uncleanness, inordinate affections, etc. And that's why you see what you see going on in society today. Because you are being changed, spiritually changed. How do you change back? Well, you need an enema. That's right, you need an enema. You need a spiritual enema. You need a cleansing out of your souls. You need to start giving. And I'm not saying send me. You can if you want, but I'm saying you got to start giving, and you have to start giving in a way you can keep track of what you're giving, to know that it's strengthening the poor. That means congregating together, joining the Living Network, and forming congregations of record, even if you're at a distance. This day and age, right now, you can call each other daily. You can speak with one another. You can travel around and meet with one another. And what is our main goal is to find the other sheep. If you're out on the desert with sheep, and you look out there and you say, where are the sheep? And you look around and you see one on the top of a hill. And you see another one over on a hill a little ways away. Well, you want to know where the sheep are? They're down in the valley between those two hills. That's where they are, if they're range sheep. If they're farm flock sheep, they'll be all over the place. We have one white-faced sheep that is, she took her two lambs and she always led them away. She's a fence walker. She finds ways through fences and she takes them to green pastures. There's green grass outside of that, but she wants what she is not supposed to be getting. She wants to get it from somewhere else. She's coveting that grass on the other side. Well, her lambs have been sold. We didn't keep any of her lambs. But now she's got two other ewes, two other sheep she takes off. Several times she didn't come in with the rest of the sheep. She was left out in the field in the dark. There are coyotes and bobcats out there everywhere. One of these days she's going to be eaten up. She's getting away with it right now. But she's not going to get away with it forever. Now, you need to come together now. Because there's mountain lions and bobcats. And there's no way I can instill in this sheep that she needs to stay together. We've sacked the dogs on her. Now the dogs don't bite her or anything, but they scare her and keep her in with the herd. But she's the first one to start straying from the herd. There's some genetic defect that has come down. She's probably related to a black-faced sheep. You don't see it in her. She looks all white-faced on the outside. But deep down, somewhere in her genes, she is not gregarious enough to stay together. She has been altered by these other sheep that we used at one time. And we accidentally kept one that was partially that farm flock sheep that did not have the spirit of gregariousness. And she will be consumed. As a matter of fact, after lambing, she's going to get ear-notched and marked, and we're not going to keep her. Because she's passing on her traits to others that should know better and would know better except that she is leading them away. We used to have a sheep called Cora, and she had a black face, so you could tell her, this one has a white face. It's a Cora in sheep's clothing, and it's leading them away. That's happening in the real world out here. There are ministers leading you away from the ways of Christ, saying to you that you are saved because you're a believer, but you're not a believer because you're not doing what Paul said. And Paul was talking to believers who were doing what he said. And he was reminding them not to be like those who do not believe, even though they say they believe. We know they don't believe because they do not bear the fruits of repentance. They're gathering together to study and study and study and study, but not coming to a knowledge of the truth, denying the power thereof. And the power thereof is that you can take care of one another through faith, hope, and charity and do a better job of it. And we have lots of ways to do that. Lots of ways I won't speak about to you on the radio. I speak about it amongst the believers. Because I see in them the fruits of repentance. And I've seen two emails in the last couple of days in communication among some of those ministers who are realizing that they came to HHC, His Holy Church, trying to put it in a box that was already built in their head. And they realized that that box was not built by Christ. Christ's kingdom is in all the world and all the ways. It's a way. It's not a box. A box hems you in. It is a narrow path, but it is a way to righteousness. And men are beginning to see this and change. And every time they begin to see this, they equate it with acts of humility and submission. If you want to know the kingdom of God, it's not about your knowledge and flesh and blood study. It's about your submission to the will of the Father and the recognition that you can't do it on your own. So you're right. You're not saved by works. But when you really submit, you'll know you're not saved by study either. You're saved by submission to the will of the Father, going back to His way with the intention of serving in His house. That is the story of the prodigal son, and we're all prodigal sons. We're all returning, and we need to start to bear the fruits of that spirit. Is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, according to Paul. Be therefore not partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. He's talking to those who are believers, who are taking care of one another through the social welfare of Christ, who are sharing their coats and their meat in free will offerings, and no longer coveting their neighbor's goods through the fornication of the idolatrous temples of Rome or Jerusalem. Yes, Christianity changed the world. It turned those who would change upside down and right side up. Upside down from the way they were, which was wrong, right side up to the way that they should be. This is the gospel. And until next week, seek that gospel. Seek that kingdom and its righteousness and start turning around yourselves. Till then, may God be with you and peace be upon your heart.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.